Real love. That's what I'm looking for this Christmas. I'm looking for the moments where it's real. It's so easy for us to think this is how it should be. This is how we remember it being. But I'm interested in us paying attention to where real love shows up. Now, I need to admit to you that I often am paying attention to it in places where it's least expected. Or I can be found sitting in front of my television watching a predictable Hallmark Christmas movie where it's as far away from most of our realities as possible. In fact, you can get on a plane today and fly to Arizona where there's a small town that has recreated one of the Hallmark sets, where right up to the over-the-top decorations. Don't you love it when someone goes into the bathroom and there's beautiful garland around every doorway? And the fake snow is there. The things that we think make a real Christmas. But I'm interested in where real love shows up. And as I've sat watching a few of those movies at this time of year, I've tried to pay attention to where this story, which often people say isn't real, and yet is so real for us, where it and the movie stories overlap. And I noticed a few things. There's always a Hallmark character that travels to another place. Every movie begins poorly scripted, we know, and not very awesome acting, but it begins with a shot of the film in some location, and the people end up in another location by the end. And somebody in the plot doesn't want to go there. So there's a little bit of that happening in our story. And we know when the stranger shows up and the music changes that by the end that stranger will be connected to love. And the other piece is that it's scripted that there won't be many surprises, because you know when you sit down in front of a Hallmark movie how it's going to end. That's why everybody loves it. It's very predictable. But you're waiting for the moment where the character is surprised. And lastly, despite all of its stereotypes, and we could edit away, the one thing that often happens in every Hallmark movie is that family looks broader by the end of the movie, that neighbors and family go beyond blood and kind of Christmas card. So there's an invitation in those stories and this story into where love shows up unexpectedly. Because I don't want you to get too comfortable in this story thinking you know it, you've heard it, you know the soundtrack. I want you to recognize that at this time and place, and for our time and place, to find God in a stable, somehow the setting is all wrong and doesn't fit. That the swaddling clothes are too plain, that the manger is too common for the likes of a savior, the straw inelegant, the animals and noisy, the whole scene too ordinary for our taste, and the cast of characters no better, with the possible exception of the kings, who among them is fit for this holy night. The shepherds certainly too crude, the carpenter too rough, the girl too young, and the baby. Who expected a baby? Who expected the advent of God would arrive as a helpless child? In fact, the promises hinted at it, but they imagined that the Messiah would come with a whole legion of angels wielding golden bright swords, and the whole world would know the Christ light then and there. And we wouldn't have the work of telling the story, for everyone would be aware. But now, we turn to the real story, that it comes as a surprise. And in the arriving as a surprise, we become aware always in a new way. And the baby is ingenious. Have you ever been in a room with a group of people, tension might be, a debate happening, people might not be having fun, and someone arrives with a baby. And even the strictest, most reserved, their faces change. They peer in. They start to ooh a little bit. People want to be close to a baby. It happened this week for me in the hustle and bustle. It's the busiest time of year at the Maybell Food Program, and a mom arrived with a little baby, and she didn't want to shop with him because she didn't want him to get sick. She wanted him to just stay quiet. So he stayed with me, and people just started to come to him. His name was JC, of all things. And I was just had to stop myself from saying, could you just come on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock and be our baby? No, I held myself back from that. But there's something that draws us to babies. It's the newness of life. It's the miracle of the birth. It's the awareness that they might have a hint about what God is like that we want to remember. So the power of that surprise stays with us even now. And you'll watch people when you're near babies. You watch the only other time, besides the picking up a child, of I've seen grumpy people turn on a dime when they're dog people and they like a puppy and the puppy shows up. You're in the midst of something and it just stops you in your tracks and you have to kind of bend down and have a moment. It calls us to new life. It calls us to how love shows up. And in the unexpected, I wonder if you've been noticing it. I was the most surprised when someone sent me a link of a speaker from a personal development conference, and it turned out that the speaker was a dad who'd been caught up in the scandal of the parents paying for their children to get into high universities. And his ex-wife had been part of that, and so she had gotten arrested and gone to jail, and he'd been the parent caring for the teens in the learning of this story. And he hadn't done any interviews except in the middle of this story, he felt called to be real as he was explaining about what it means to be loving. And what showed up, I was the most unexpected, is he named love as space making. He shared the story of his son being aware that one parent didn't believe that he could get into school, and so thought that the loving thing to do was make a space for him to pursue his dream, as opposed to the other unexpected side of the story is to make space for him to find his own way, his way. And the dad told the story of being a young man in Anglican boys' school and having to read, everybody was invited to read scripture each week in chapel, but he had a stutter and he didn't get asked until he was about 10 years old and he saw his name on the list and he went home to his parents and he showed them, he said, Mom, I have to read tomorrow. And he thought the first thing his parents would do would pick up the phone and call the teacher and ask the teacher to let him not be on the list. They didn't do it. And the next day when he read in chapel, he said, I had a moment where I could feel that I could do it. And I wouldn't have had the chance to know I could do it unless my parents gave me the space to try. And that connected for me around this story because it gives us the space to pay attention to where love shows up. Because often we think love is about coming too close, coming in and making sure we protect or the things go smoothly. We think love is about making the right choices for our children, almost like a joystick in a video game that will just get them to be happy or to a place where they know who they are, instead of making space to trust that they're going to be surrounded by love. So the invitation from him was to not take away choice, to not take away opportunities for learning or opportunities for growth, and that if love is space making, then the invitation is for us to see the child as who they are and trust that the story will unfold in love. So I'm inviting you, as we're so close to Christmas, you might have an idea of what the season should look like or the perfect holiday or the perfect meal, but just take a breath. For this story invites us to be surprised by love and to look for it where you least expect it. And the first way to do that is just be aware of how you're doing. Because sometimes we have a list and an idea of what it should be, and we need to just pause and pay attention. How are you feeling? As we step into these next couple of days, I wonder if you're so caught up in the excitement, you've eaten so many shortbread cookies that your blood is just brimming with sugar, you can't wait for what's to come. Or I wonder if you're just sitting on the edge of the season, just watching other people be excited and being calm, glad that's not you, but interested in what will unfold. Or I wonder if you've repeated the same tradition over and over so many times that you're almost ready for a new thing to come because you're almost tired of it. Or if you do it because it draws you closer to someone you love. I wonder if you're swamped by expectations. I wonder if you've been captured by the magic by walking with a little one who's excited about what's to come. I wonder if you're planned to the exact minute between now and Christmas Day. And you probably know right down to the count how many hours and days are left until Christmas arrives. You'll find yourself somewhere in there, and it's good to know how you're doing before you meet people where they're at, because it's important to pay attention to starting with where the light shines from you. And then I want you to make a little list, just a list of the couple things that you would love to do between now and Christmas, or you actually get until the 6th of January because Christmas is 12 days long. If you want to sing the carols, if you want to drink a certain eggnog crazy drink, if you want to add to it by visiting a friend, but don't put anything on the list that you don't love, because we have a whole list of shoulds and coulds and need to. But what if we began with the things that we love and see where they connect with other people who you love? Because the third part of the homework is ask somebody else what they would really love between now and Christmas. Because there's nothing that shares love more than when it's the thing that someone needs or wants rather than what you think they need or want. So you pay attention to how you're doing. You make a list of the couple of things that would bring love in the next couple days. You turn that list to others. You don't have to be Jesus Christ. He already is coming. There's lots of love to abound, but you can show up for one person in a way that brings Christmas. And lastly, I want you to look for surprises where real love shows up. Put down all the expectations and pay attention to the surprise. For this story calls us to real love. And there's a reason it took a flood of angels to wake the shepherds up, because they had almost lost their hope that the promise would come. But this space-making story, well, it calls us out of the stable and in to the hillside where the stars and the shepherds are, where they listened well to come close to this story about love.